Welcome into another episode of the Gapped on Draft podcast. I am your host, Corey Kinnon, along with the co-host, co-pilot of this podcast, Dalton Miller. We are going to be chopping up some week three helmet stickers today. I think we need to have, it's not quite an emergency pod, but a little bit of an emergency discussion on a former number one overall pick that is already out of the starting lineup for
getting
us. Getting benched for the Red Rocket. That's what we got on this episode. But Dalton, before we dive in, how was your IKEA delivery? What's going on?
You know, the IKEA delivery went well. They brought it all the way up to the, they have to bring it all the way up to the apartment, but it was 13 separate pieces all came together. They brought it all in. I went to the gym. Wife put most of it together. We just need to put the finishing touches on it a little bit later. But, you know, I'm here to talk about Bryce Young, and not just Bryce Young, but I think this is a good opportunity for us to talk about rookie quarterbacks in general and how to bring these guys along, especially when we are putting them in the sorts of situations that he found himself in Carolina. And we have to have that discussion.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And again, like there's probably a lot that falls on Carolina's plate here, right? But I also think that there's a lot that falls on Bryce's plate. I would even say it's probably 60-40, maybe even 70-30 Bryce in the situation of this benching. And some of it is stuff that's outside of Bryce's control, right? That we overlook. We talked about it in the last episode, just like not only did Carolina select an extreme outlier in terms of height, weight at the quarterback position, but they literally traded picks that turned into Caleb Williams, that a couple other first round picks, and their Pro Bowl wide receiver.
Yeah, I retweeted because PFN tweeted it out, and I retweeted it so I could actually get all of what they gave up for it. And so here it is in a second when I find it. They gave up DJ Moore. They gave up a 2023 first, which was the number 9 overall pick. They gave up their second round pick, which was number 61. Then they gave up 2024's first round pick, which ended up being Caleb Williams, and then a 2025 second round pick. All of that for Bryce Young, who has now been benched.
Yeah. So it's one thing to select an extreme outlier with the first overall pick. Again, we talked about it with Kyler Murray. The Cardinals did that. But again, yep. Kyler Murray runs a 4.3. Kyler Murray's got a nuke attached to his shoulder. So like he can legitimately make plays with his tools that Bryce Young doesn't have. And not only did Carolina select him number one overall, but they gave up all of that to get him. So not only are they,
worst team in the NFL, they gave up the assets that could actually help put a team around him as well, including their top wide receiver.
Correct. They traded the first overall pick and more for the first overall pick. Essentially, is what I mean, and that comes down to them having worse record getting the Bears the pick back, plus a lot more. So I think a lot falls on Carolina's plate. One, you just mortgaged your future for a guy who doesn't have NFL tools. Like if we can put it gently, like what Bryce got away with in the college level is that he's a really good anticipatory thrower and he's pinpoint accurate, right? But like,
yes,
when pressure collapses around him, he doesn't have the Kyler tools to escape. When he has to throw and like drive the, this is a huge thing. Like, because I've got like some Bama people in my mentions when I tweeted like, yeah, but the difference is that like Bryce has never had the ability to drive the ball. And they're like, are you serious? Did you ever watch him a couple of, okay. There's a difference between throwing a deep ball and driving the football into a tight window. Every D2 quarterback up can throw a deep ball. Every D2 quarterback up can throw a deep ball. Okay.
Well, so like, except for the Michigan quarterback last year.
Sure. Yeah. The difference is being able to have the hip torque to be able to pull power from your hips, generate RPMs on the football, and drive a football into a tight window around a variety of defenders, through a variety of defenders. And that's something that Bryce didn't do at Alabama. Like these clips that people are sending me, like, well, what about this? It's like, no, that's a feathered deep ball. Like, And he gets away with it because, again, he was in, he hit his receivers in stride on the money because he threw with anticipation and accuracy. But you're not going to have those windows that you had at Alabama in the NFL. And now that he's in the NFL, and again, like the defenders that he's able to get away from the college level aren't the defenders that he's going to be able to get away from the NFL, and it's not working. He doesn't have the tools to compensate.
That was always the thing with me that scared me about him, was the ability to escape was just not going to be there at the NFL level. And I mean, just full transparency, we're not even saying that we didn't like him, because there was a lot to like about him as a prospect. And he was most people's, you know, top two quarterback. If he wasn't number one, he was probably number two. Now, some people really, really wanted to put Anthony Richardson at number two. And, you know, I would have to go back over my gradings to see what the exact numbers were, but I definitely had Bryce Young closer to Richardson than I had him closer to CJ Stroud. But that had a lot to do with how much I like CJ Stroud as well. And that's the thing, is there's a lot of people dunking on folks right now about Bryce Young and their pre-draft, you know, thoughts on him. But outside of like, who's the old guy who really, really loved Levis and is like really an asshole on Twitter?
Pete Prisco. How are you talking
Pete
about
Prisco?
Yeah.
Not to say like that he is an asshole. That's just his mentality on Twitter. He just fights with people, and he's, I mean, that's fine. It's entertaining. But he was kind of right on Bryce Young. And sometimes the old heads who are like, yeah, that guy's 5'10", 190 pounds. He can't play quarterback because he's 5'10 and 190 pounds. Maybe they have a point at this point. Maybe that's just the way that it is. It's not going to work out for these guys. And Fifita is a guy like that. Jalen Milroe is a guy like that, as well as, you know, we talk about pressure to sack rate and holding on to the ball. And that's another thing with Milroe. And we'll talk about Milroe here in a bit. But the Bryce Young conversation brings along another conversation. Starting guys immediately as rookies. And where I thought the Carolina Panthers really screwed up was they had the veteran in place who was a better football player at the time and could have won you football games, but they sat him. And they played Bryce Young in a horrific situation. And in the one game Bryce Young didn't play, that offense looked not fine, but that offense looked better. And I'm pretty sure the Red Rocket threw for 300 plus in that game. Like, if Andy Dalton is not a terrible quarterback, even today. And so when you have a rookie and a terrible situation in front of him, and not just a rookie in a terrible situation, but one that has a veteran backup who can still play in the NFL, and a guy who is not playing well at all as a rookie, bench him.
Yep.
Bench him as a rookie, start the veteran, and allow him to come on at his own rate. And I think that this is something that right now New England is doing a great job of, starting Jacoby Brissett and also saying, hey, Drake May is going to get 30% of the first.
It's amazing
in practice as well.
Yeah, it's amazing what they're doing.
Do not see at the NFL level, because those starters need so many reps and there isn't a ton of practice time. So those rookies don't get the practice time. That is an amazing way to go about your quarterback's development, because you know, Jacoby Brissett isn't the long term, but Jacoby Brissett has been around the league. He has started games in the NFL for a long time. And so he doesn't need every practice rep either. But when you have a guy like Jacoby Brissett and you have a bad situation in front of you, play Jacoby Brissett, play Andy Dalton, let your rookie come along at their own pace. Don't ruin them by starting them in a situation that they cannot survive in. And listen, Bryce Young may never play another snap in the NFL as a starting quarterback. He probably will. He'll probably get another chance somewhere else, even if it's as a backup. He'll come in and he'll get snaps. Will he ever be a successful starter in the NFL? Probably not, because of the lack of physical tools. But to start him the way that they did was a failure on David Tepper. It was a failure on the Carolina Panthers because Andy Dalton was there.
I agree. I mean, one, you mentioned the owner, and I think he's a huge problem in this situation.
He's a huge issue.
He's just a meddler. He meddles in everything. And it seems really impulsive, right? Like, from a business aspect and from a personnel aspect. Like, he started building a multi-million dollar facility and then pulled the plug halfway through and it went bankrupt. Like, he threw drinks on Carolina or on Jacksonville fans in Jacksonville. Like, he fired at his head. Like, just he's everything he's been. Yeah, he's a huge problem. And what I think, going back to one, the Patriots a little bit here, and Drake May, what they're doing, it helps when Jacoby Brissett has played with Alex Van Pelt in Cleveland in 2022. Yeah. And they're basically spamming 2022 Cleveland's offense. Like, that, they're basically spamming the exact same offense. Like, we're just going to run the ball down your throat and we're going to take play action shots off of that. That's pretty much all they're doing. The wheels are going to come off eventually, but that's what you have Drake May. I think they're anticipating that. Like, Jacoby's going to take us this far. Yeah. And that's just an amazing way to do that. But what's really tough to even think about with Bryce is, like, schematically, how does this guy fit into it? Like, you got to probably either one, put him in gun or put him in boot. And, like, those are such narrow schemes that he can fit into in an NFL offense. Like, I've seen Mike McDaniel floated of, like, he hits that drop and he gets the ball out. I don't even think he can do that, man. I don't even think he can do that.
He can't do the Shanahan.
No.
The Shanahan wide zone stuff, because he's going to have to be under center a ton in that offense as well. I think what you kind of go to it and you're like, well, who's running, like, true West Coast stuff at this point?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, that's about it. Like, West Coast and spamming RPOs.
Yep.
Like, that's the only thing I can see with him.
Yep.
And I just don't, I don't see it, man. I don't know where he goes from here.
Maybe he can back up Kyler with Drew Petzing. Maybe he can back up Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia. Maybe he can back up Jaden Daniels in Washington. But how long is Cliff Kingsbury going to be in Washington? Like, how long is that going to last? So, like, yeah, it's very, very
slow. He'll fail up and become a head coach somewhere else.
Oh, geez. Yeah. But, yeah, it's just really unfortunate for Bryce because, like, again, like, to one extent, you're dealt the cards you're dealt, right? Like, he's dealt the physical tools that he's dealt. And he did not ask to be the number one pick. Correct. That's Carolina 100% mortgaging their entire future for a guy who, and again, I think Carolina's going to have to trade him. Like, how do you salvage naming a guy a team captain and benching him 2 weeks into the season?
You can't.
How do you salvage that?
You don't.
I think you have to trade him at this point. To where? What do you get again?
What do you take for him?
A fourth round, fifth round pick. Like, that's all you're going to get. Maybe. I mean, he is by far, him and Bo Nix are by far, like, the bottom of every graph that I've seen. So, like, it's not pretty. It's not pretty.
Yeah. And the biggest issue is he hasn't been accurate at the NFL level. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he's missing wide misses, stuff we didn't see in college. It is unfortunate. It's very unfortunate. Because you never root against guys.
Right.
Even if you didn't believe, you shouldn't root against guys. Even if you don't believe in guys going through the draft process and you think this guy he can't play and everybody else loves him, you shouldn't be taking victory laps when that happens. Right. If you do that, you're an asshole.
Right.
Like, it's just the way that it is. If you're doing that on Twitter with Bryce Young, you are a bad person because you shouldn't want to be right over being a decent human being, even in this business where being right is everything, because we aren't right very often in this industry. If you're right half of the time, you're a Hall of Fame evaluator.
Right.
And it's just the way that this goes. But you want to get to, do you have anything more to say with this? Like, I just think, like, when you're in this situation and you have the ability to sit a guy, I'm truly, as we get along this, I've been, play these rookies. I've always been in that camp, but I'm in the camp now where, you know, in Chicago, it doesn't really make sense, but in other places, especially places like Carolina last year, places that have veterans like New England, don't play those guys.
Yeah.
Even in Denver, Jarrett Stidham is probably the better player right now. And things are not going well for Bo Nix right now. So maybe it's time for Sean Payton to take a step back, realize that the situation right now is not tenable for your rookie quarterback, and throw Jarrett Stidham to the wolves.
Yeah.
Because You don't want the worst thing, the last thing you want to do is ruin your rookie's confidence. And will benching him hurt his confidence? Yes, it will hurt his confidence to be benched early in the season, but it could save him in the long run. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think we are.
Yep, I agree. And that, I think we're to the point of no return with Bryce in that regard. Like, you, yep. It's gone. It's almost like, I mean, to a larger extent, like DJ Uy and Ungulale has like the unbelievable, ungodly amount of yips right now. Just like,
oh yeah,
missing unbelievable throws. Like, dude, this guy's standing in the back of the end zone with no defender within 15 yards of him, and you just shot it out the back of the end zone, kind of yips. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing with Bryce, man. But yeah, I think that's a pretty good disclaimer on the Bryce thing there. But
yeah,
we did have a slate of week three college football games, and honestly, they were more fun than we thought they were going to be going over them on Friday.
Yes, they were.
So I was pretty wrong on the Kansas State Arizona game. I was like, I don't know how they're 7-point favorites. That's a big spread for that game, and then they won by
demolished.
They
them.
Won by 24 or whatever. But
but Ted had a good game.
He did. Again, he's going to get feathered with targets, man. He's just going to get.
He will. And if we can just talk about him just real quick, because he's not getting a helmet star or anything from either of us, even though he definitely deserves it for his performance. I am starting to wonder about how explosive he really is. Okay. Great football player, but I am starting to wonder what he is going to run.
Okay.
That's about all I got to say about it.
I think as long as he's in the 4-5, like a 4-5-1, I think like the CeeDee Lamb, Drake London-ish, really.
I just wonder if he is. Yeah. And some of it is definitely, he's not part of the read structure and he's just jogging out there. But some of it, I wonder, because he's not on the field for every snap either. So he shouldn't be super gassed. So I'm just wondering how naturally explosive he really is. But there is a lot to like about the player, and I still think that he's my wide receiver one right now.
He's doing more after the catch this year than he has also, than he yes. did yes last year. So like, there's evidence more on that end, and there's evidence of some more fluidity. Everybody knew he was kind of quick.
And he catches absolutely everything.
Yeah,
so everything. Like, there were some catches in this game where 99.9% of wide receivers don't even think about catching that football, and he was able to just pluck it right out of the air. So mm-hmm. definitely impressive in that. I mean, it's just a guy that you can trust throwing the ball up to. Helmet stars.
Just one quick thing on that. Like, I want to shoot you an over under on this. So Mike Evans ran a 4.53 with a 10 yard split in the 49th percentile at 231. But again, he's 231 pounds. And
yeah.
Tet's probably 215, 210. Yeah. Do you think over or under that 4.53?
Over.
Really?
Yeah, I think he's like 4.55 to 4.6 range.
What about that 10 yard? Do you think that his 10 yard's going to be bad? Or do you think you see him get off the ball?
I think it's going to be pretty average. I think it's going to be around where Mike was with it.
That's not great.
No, it's not great, but I think that's not where his game is though.
Yeah.
Like his game is very, very much more Drake London. So
yep. Yeah.
Just it is what it is.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic, but today work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries, sending away good jobs and diminishing our capability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make the kind of high-quality clothing staples you need for a comfortable, stylish, and active summer wardrobe, like vintage-style tees, tough tank tops, breathable polos, lightweight sweatshirts, shorts, and so much more, all made right here in the USA. From growing the cotton to adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Helmet stars. And I'm going to start off with the other wide receiver that is in this. I don't think Missouri wins that football game without Luther Burden III. And he did have a fumble in this game. I will say that. But making guys miss, being an absolute weapon after the catch. He ended up he caught 6 of his 8 targets, 117 yards, averaged 20 yards of reception, and he was a menace after the catch in this game. And so I got to give a helmet start to him, man. And we were talking about him last week, I think, saying, you know, he's not Deebo Samuel. He's after the catch, he's more Ja'Marr Chase. But what he was doing in that game was very much not Deebo, because Debo's like 220 pounds and stockier. But Burton, like you talk about quite a bit, he is thick in the lower half, and he was bouncing off of guys and making guys miss. And he is an absolute weapon after the catch. There's still a lot that I want to see more from him from a technical aspect. But it was very much the same thing for me personally with Ja'Marr Chase, where he's just not a perfect wide receiver prospect, in my opinion. And I was lower on Ja'Marr Chase than I think a lot of other people were. Fine to be a little bit wrong on him too. But Burton is somebody who is kind of in that mold for me as well. A really good football player. And like I said, deserves a helmet star, because I don't think they win this football game without him.
Yeah, I'm going to go in a direction of a guy that we've talked about. Is like, man, we really still don't see it as an NFL prospect.
Yeah.
But in this game, he absolutely deserves the helmet sticker. And I'm going to go with Jalen Milroe, Alabama quarterback. It seems like he's really fitting into the mold of what Kalen DeBoer like did with Michael Penix. Like, just hit the crosser, man. See the crosser, hit the crosser. Like, that's really it. See the deep crosser, hit the deep crosser. And yeah. Milroe was pretty on time in this game. Was pretty on time doing that in this game. And if he can keep doing that, we might see a trend in a positive direction in his draft stock. I still, it's going to be really hard for me to get there. But in this game, again, he only threw for 196 yards, but 3 touchdowns, no turnovers on a 12 of 17 passing, but added 75 yards and 2 extra touchdowns on the ground as well. So, like, he's an absolute weapon with his legs. Again, some of the stuff that kind of scares you with Jalen Milroe, and, you know, we hit on this a little bit, but, like, how you handle a pocket and how you avoid sacks are two huge things that have caused us to miss on quarterbacks in the past. And it's becoming undeniable that it's necessary. Like, this is why people loved Anthony Richardson. For as raw as Anthony Richardson was coming out, his ability to navigate a pocket and step up at a pocket and clear him, give himself a lane to throw, and then the arm angles and then just the alienish traits on top of that. Like, even if he was raw accuracy wise and still is, even if he's raw in what he's trying to understand post snap and still is, like, that gives you a good base to work with. But, you know, Jalen Milroe still this season sits at a 25% pressure to sack ratio, over 3 seconds time to throw. So, like, some of the stuff that I'm still, like, pretty wary about this dude, but this is a trend in the right direction. See the deep crosser, hit the deep crosser. Jalen Milroe did that in this game.
Yeah, do you think he's 6'2"?
No. I think he's probably 225. He's pretty thick.
Yeah, he's a pretty thick guy.
But I think he's probably like 6 foot.
Little Russell Wilson?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah,
that's how we have to. That's how we kind of have to see him, right?
Juiced up Russ, yeah.
If we want to see a viable NFL player,
right? Another thing with him is he fumbles the ball all the time, man. The ball's always on the ground with him,
yeah.
So that's got to be cleaned up too. But in this game against Wisconsin, man, he was pretty electric.
He avoids the turnover worthy plays as a passer. I will say he does that really well. Moving on to a transfer from an SEC school to an SEC school. And they lost this football game. They should have won this football game. I'm not a ref conspiracy theory guy, but I thought that South Carolina was cheated out of this game.
I thought so too. That that unnecessary roughness on a block where both of his hands are in the chest plate. Like, no shoulder pad to shoulder pad, no helmet to helmet, hands in the breastplate.
Yeah,
that's an unbelievable call.
That wasn't the only one that I didn't like throughout that game. But Raheem Sanders had a very good game. The missed tackles force weren't huge in this one. I think he had like 15 in week one. But he averaged 7.5 yards per attempt. The blocking was good in this game. And that is just kind of how the world of a running back goes, is if the blocking is good, you're going to have a good day on the ground. And if it's not, you're probably going to struggle unless you are, you know, Marshawn Lynch and can break 8 tackles on a single play. And with Rocket, you want to see somebody who is 230 pounds, a big running back, be able to show a little bit of juice. And that long run that he had, that 66-yarder, he showed a little bit of juice. He was not running away from guys. But if he's able to stay even in those situations and not let guys catch him from behind, that is a big plus for a running back that is 230 pounds and is coming off of a pretty significant injury at Arkansas in 2023 as well. So somebody who got a ton of carries for Arkansas in 2022, ended up getting hurt in 2023. He is going to be a little bit older of a prospect, but when we're talking about, you know, probably day three running backs, I don't care if they're 24, they're going to be a one contract guy for me anyways. So age doesn't really bother me at the position. But with Rocket Man, kudos to him. He did a lot to really help that offense, especially after the quarterback went down, which, again, another unfortunate thing. I don't think they lose that game if he doesn't get banged up. But good game for Rocket Sanders.
Yeah, I feel like you could have gone, like, you could pick a running back every week for a helmet sticker in college football right now. Like, Omarion Hampton had, like, 180 yards after contact this week as well. So, like,
Omarion Hampton is always going to have about 190 yards after contact.
Right. So, like, it's really hard to, like, do these helmet stickers and not just go straight for skill players all the time.
Yeah.
And so, like, I respect it. I respect it. And we got to diversify a little bit, too. So that's why I'm going to the defensive side of the ball with this one. My last two, actually, defensive side of the ball. So this is a player that I've expressed my love for in this podcast before, but Georgia's Jalen Walker, man, against Kentucky, in a game where Georgia got punched in the mouth for probably 58 minutes of it, against a former Georgia five-star transfer quarterback. but they got punched in the mouth in this game. And I don't think that Kentucky offensive line is very good, which begs some bigger questions of that Georgia defensive line, maybe a little bit. But in this game, Jalen Walker, again, he's listed at 6'2", 245. That dude's probably 6 foot, maybe 6'007", 240. So he's very sawed off. He's very sawed off, but he is explosive. And I love myself a big, stout, thick boy. So at the next level, like, if you could tell me I could get this guy in for like a fourth or a fifth round pick to be my Sam linebacker and DPR, designated pass rusher, like, yeah, I would do that in a heartbeat. So, like, because I don't think he's going to have those NFL traits-y kind of things to go day two. I think he's explosive, and I think there are some bend, but, like, again, some of those physical limitations might get him a little underdrafted. So, but in this game against Kentucky, dude, 8 pressures. I mean, he was in the backfield all game. 8 pressures, 3 hits in the quarterback, 5 hurries, 1 batted ball, 2 stop tackles. Just, like, the one thing that he didn't have in this game was a sack. The one thing he didn't get in the game was an actual sack, but he was just constantly in Brock Vandegrift's face the entire game. And Georgia probably doesn't win the game without him. Again, I don't know if Georgia should have won that game. This is probably a larger conversation for another podcast on how this quarterback class continues to develop. But the guy who's presumed QB1 right now did not play very well in that game. But Jalen Walker stood up and punched back a little bit in this one.
And I'm going to the defensive side of the ball to somebody who was not on my radar until this week and might not even be on the NFL's radar at all, maybe by the end of the year, but somebody who was incredibly impressive, specifically on the final couple of drives for Oklahoma's defense. That is R. Mason Thomas. Reminded me of Oboe on the edge there for Oklahoma, like 6'2", 235, 240, but showed a little bit of bend. Honestly, he ducked right underneath the right tackle on a ghost move twice. One ended up being a strip sack where he actually recovered the fumble as well, but showed some juice, showed some bend. He had a really nice rush from the opposite side against the left tackle where he got stopped trying to come up the arc and countered inside as the quarterback stepped up. It was a little bit of a longer to get their sack, but he had 5 total pressures, the 3 stops on the sacks. Little bit smaller guy, didn't play a ton of defense for Oklahoma in 2022 or 2023, but he has already surpassed his numbers from both of those seasons as well. So we'll see how the pass rush goes for him the rest of the year, if he can continue to make a little bit of a difference there. But he looked really good against Tulane. We'll see him against some better competition there in the SEC as the season progresses.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing with those Oklahoma guys. They tend that they churn out those pass rush specialists like Oboe, you mentioned Nick Benito, this guy like Armason Thomas, like guys who probably aren't going to be on the field on rundowns, but you put them on the field on passing situations and they'll get the job done.
Yeah, and he did all of his work in this Tulane game on obvious passing downs as well.
Yeah, yeah. For my last one, I'm going to go to the defensive secondary here, to the cornerback position, in a class of corners that we've raved about. And a guy, again, that I ranked pretty high when we did our cornerback podcast. He's already up to 2 interceptions on the season, including 1 touchdown. In this game against Appalachian State, he baited a quarterback on a deep crosser all the way across the field, like the full 50-yard length across the field, and then jumped in front of this crosser, picked it off. Siobhan Revel of East Carolina. I came in really high on him. Dane Brugler put him as initial top 15. I think he's 12th overall player in this class coming into the season. And he's done nothing but perform this year. In this game particularly, again, listed at 6'3", 193. So he's a little thin, and that shows up in the run game. But for some reason, you're playing East Carolina, and you're playing against a guy who's ranked as a 12th overall prospect, and you targeted him nine times. I don't know what. You know, I guess if those Sunbelt schools probably only have one good receiver, and so that one good receiver is always going to be on on that guy, on Revel. But target him 9 times. He only gave up 4 catches in this game. QB rating of 50. Had that interception, his second one of the season already. Again, I think his ability to turn and run is just phenomenal. His long speed might be the best in the class. We'll see once we get to Indian, those, you know, that the flying 20 or whatever on the back end of his 40-yard dash and kind of how he looks in those on-field drills. But I think he might have the best long speed in the class right now. And just the ability to stride it out as he hit on this pick all the way across the field and then jump that thing is an unbelievably high quality play. An unbelievably high quality play.
It definitely was. It was a fun one to watch. I actually sat down and I watched that entire game, and I came away more impressed with him and his fluidity than I did when I was watching him last year, or his tape from last year. So I'm interested to see how that progresses, because he's somebody who I was a little bit lower on coming into this season compared to you, compared to Dane. So it will be interesting to see him, you know, kind of for the rest of the year, see him. Are we going to get any better competition for East Carolina? That's kind of the problem with the small school corners just anyways. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter, because you want to see the athleticism. And that's something that you can see on tape, no matter who you're playing, no matter who they're playing against. And then something that, especially with these guys, we're going to see them up close and personal in Indianapolis. And those things matter. Those drills matter, especially when it comes to being a 6'3" corner. So
yeah, absolutely. There's a huge thing with Sauce. Like, I didn't think Sauce was fluid on tape, and that was a huge miss on me.
I remember having a conversation with you back in the Sauce days where we were talking about the corners, and you said, "Man, I just don't think I don't know if he's fast enough. I don't know if he's fat. Like, I don't know if he can move well enough." And then, you know, you go and you see him in Indy, you see how he tests, and it's like, all right, like he has quelled the concerns. And that was all before the Alabama game. So, like, once the Alabama game happened, you're like, okay, he's got it. He's a good enough athlete. But, like, leading up to it, that's the problem with not being a Power 5 player, is you just don't always know if he's got it when it comes to carrying Jalen Waddle up the seam. You know what I mean? And that's something that it took a long time for us to get that confirmation with Sauce, but we got it. And once you get it, that's all that matters.
Yeah. I mean, even in that Bama game a little bit, they were bragging Jameson Williams, man. Like he had a safety over top of him, because Jameson was electric that year at Alabama. But yeah, once he got to combine and he did the turn and run drill, I don't know what it's called, but it's like, okay, this dude's 6'3" and he's moving like this. All right, we're good. But yeah, that's my third and final helmet sticker there.
That's it. That's all the helmet stickers.
That's all of them. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
We got podcasts coming the rest of the week too.
Oh yeah, always, always.
Yep. So we're gonna do Daft on Draft on Wednesday.
Yep.
And then Thursday we will do. Do you want to do another Build a Prospect?
I would love to do another Build a Prospect.
Okay. Running backs this time?
Well, let's do running backs. That sounds
all right. Yeah. Running back build a prospect on Thursday, and then we're going to preview week four on Friday. We got podcasts coming, baby.
Love it. Football season is here. Draft talk is here. Yeah. I don't know about you, but the early part of draft season is always really overwhelming to me as well. Like, where do I freaking start?
Yeah, where do you go?
Where do I like start you have, to start building my board? Like,
yeah, once draft season really starts, it's nice because you have like an order to think. Once college football is over, like you have an order of things. Like these are the guys I want to see in this order. You start to see where everything is kind of shaping up. So you're like, okay, I can watch this guy. I can watch this guy. I can watch this guy. It's a free for all during the season. Which makes it a lot of fun, but having a podcast like this and having talking points, and we're going to do like a build the board thing later as the year progresses as well, to where like we're going to have to watch positions and we're going to have to watch conferences and we're going to have to like really regiment what we're doing. But for now, it's a free for all and it is a ton of fun.
For sure. It might be a good episode in the future too of like, hey, who are some guys that like weren't on my radar and now are like, that's the enjoyable part of prospect, like draft prospect. Like I can remember in the 2022 class, like I turned on this random UAB defensive end like tape. And I was like, oh my God, this guy's a top 100 player. Yeah. And then like the season went along and I was like, this guy's a top 100 player. And then Dane Brugler put him as like the 60 something overall player. And then Mike Cleveland Browns drafted him in the top 100, like the third round. And now he just had a game clinching sack for a safety against the Jaguars. So like, that's the fun part for me.
Yeah.
But I think that's enough lollygagging on the back end of this podcast. I think we should let the people go. Yeah, it's probably time to wrap this one up. But again, for Dalton, for Corey, this has been the Daft on Draft podcast. We'll be back tomorrow.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries, sending away good jobs and diminishing our capability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make the kind of high-quality clothing staples you need for a comfortable, stylish, and active summer wardrobe. Like vintage-style tees, tough tank tops, breathable polos, lightweight sweatshirts, shorts, and so much more. All made right here in the USA. From growing the cotton to adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.